Hello there. So after the first season of our Founders podcast, we came back recording the second season. In the first season, we spoke about the progress and the growth of Sunray as a company. We came to a point somewhere around a year and a half, Sandy, if I can remember well.
Yeah.
So at that point, we had 6 employees and we managed to release our first startup Saloon. So yeah, how did you felt, how the team felt, how the Sunray felt from your perspective, Sandy, at this point?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I don't really remember. the thing is, we kind of had a lot of things going on at that moment, and it, well, first of all, it was our first kind of a project and a success, so we didn't really know how to deal with it, what to do with it. We had this big launch we talked about the last season, and then we kind of had so many things to do that the next day we just went back right in and continued working. So I don't think we ever kind of properly processed and celebrated Saloon and the milestone and the achievement that it actually represented for us. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, definitely. From some perspective, it was not good to celebrate it, but from other one, maybe it was good that we didn't spend too much time on celebrating and focusing on that one.
Right.
Instead, we invested that time. We onboarded like first big client, and even after that one, we got the one more client, Colex, which later on we got as an agency. And I don't know, Saloon gave us a bunch of motivation, bunch of good stuff, the knowledge about the startup world, how it's hard to get to a point of releasing something which you were working on like for a year, and how it was hard and a struggle at the end to sell that one outside. So we after immediate, let's say, the launch, I remember we sat down a bit, you, me, and Fakhruddin, who was also co-founder of Saloon, and we made some specific plans. If you remember, Sandy, for Saloon, and beside that one, we needed to customize also Sunray's specific plans for till the end of
right.
the year. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Saloon plans were kind of foggy at the moment because we just launched. We were testing out the waters. We kind of went public. Up to that point, we only onboarded a couple of restaurants, but mostly those were kind of our friends and people we knew. And also our sales guy, Fariz, at the time, he was reaching out to other people as well, trying to bring some. So we did have a few vendors on board, but I mean, the user base, it was completely our control group. So we didn't really, have real users in a sense that somebody who would just take the application, try to use it, and then if they don't like it, they would just leave it without giving us feedback. So that was the kind of the next step that was going to go there. And we noticed that even at the launch, I mean, we gained a whole bunch of valuable feedback about Saloon. So yeah, it was a time to reflect on that. And then I remember, and now that I'm talking about it, I just remember that there were some specific like huge changes that were proposed that I was kind of for. Namely, one of them was to just remove the authorization completely from the application. So we just let the user use it, which kind of made a lot of sense. But when we thought about it and how much effort it would take to actually rebuild everything in that way, we just kind of realized that that wasn't feasible at that time because we had to hunker down and start tightening the features that we already had.
Definitely. Yeah. And beside that one, I think we also, for the sales guy, we needed to hit some kind of goals. Yeah, we set some kind of 3-monthly goals. How many vendors do we want on the app and platform itself, and we targeted even from Sarajevo, Mostar, and we were even trying to target Tuzla. Beside that one, some of the major and let's say touristic cities, And we had some deadlines there. And as I mentioned at the beginning, we also somehow faced the growth of the company with the Media Ocean project and the colleagues beside that one. And the plans were basically to hire new people, to onboard new people to Sunray. And even beside Sunray, when we were started using the application and the platform itself, we saw a need for a QA person. So maybe at that point, a bunch of things were happening on the both sides. Here on the Saloon, we were trying to reach new vendors, to have a stability on platform, to let users start using it. And I remember on that first launch night, we gathered somewhere around, let's say, 200, 250 users from the influencers, which were at that event. And we saw some flaws, which you also, Sandy, mentioned. Nihad, our friend, he proposed the authorization and that we completely remove it to that user have much, much better experience. And somehow that phase brought us a lot of interviews immediately afterwards. And how do you remember those things? I think we onboarded.
Well, I think we got a breather, right? We had some finances finally that we don't have to worry about getting everybody paid. So obviously that also tied up two of our best people at the time on a new project. And we had to continue support for Saloon, obviously, but we also planned for further startups that we wanted to do down the line. So it kind of made sense to start bringing other people on. And as you pointed out, aside from development, which was our first focus, obviously, because that's all we had in the beginning, we also realized that we need better testing of our product. So that kind of opened up a room to bring on somebody who would also test that. But the thing that also kind of, now that I think about it, I think you always thought about the role, the QA role, specifically as a kind of mixed role that somebody would come in and fill and also try to give some management to the project, because you were trying to set up some structure as well. And I remember that I fought you on that, because I thought that, you know, we're going to need a dedicated person for Saloon to have a chance of reading out all the issues, but I remember doing this quite.
Yeah, definitely. You fought me even before Saloon that we need a QA person inside Sunray, and I was fighting like we don't have a real project till then, and it's not yet time, and the time with Saloon came, definitely, but you fought it definitely before even releasing the Saloon. But the time came, we needed to employ one person inside the Sunray. But yeah, let's get a bit step backward. We employed like Kerim, who helped us really both for designing a website for Saloon and helped us to shape out the Saloon digital presentation, let's say it like that. And immediately after that one, we got the first, I think, female employee, which was Amila at that point. And somehow, first female employee brought up the some kind of, let's say, different dynamics inside the team, inside the Sunray itself, because before that one they were all let's say males inside the company, and the jokes were male specific, let's say. And how did you felt also that period, Sandy? I remember the dynamics changed a lot. That we needed to be more careful. We needed to be more, let's say polite. But we needed to have a sense of some kind of different behaviors than we had usually before.
For sure, yeah. So yeah, you brought up two subjects actually. One of them is both of very dear people that came out at that point, Tuza, Kerim and Amila. Kerim came kind of as a jack of all trades at that point. We previously wanted to work with him for his design skills, And then I remember when we started hiring again, he was recommended to us by one of our employees as a developer, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And we figured, why not? Let's give it a try. And then we talked, and then he kind of came in, and yeah, he worked on the design. He worked on the new web page, as you point out. He was literally everywhere at that point. He helped with the presentations. He even helped with the event, if I recall. And yes, Amila definitely changed the dynamic. I mean, up to that point, even though we were in a co-working space, it was kind of the corner that we were sitting in was our man cave. I mean, let's be honest about it. We were, working hard. We were nervous, obviously. You know, we had fun. We had jokes. Those were sometimes brutal jokes. And, you know, we didn't really care because there was nobody to offend around. We all had, like, each other's backs. We knew that, you know, it was in good faith. So we were pretty much liberal between what we were saying because, you know, it was all in... just to release the tension. But as soon as, you know, the first girl came around, it changed a lot because it shaped up. I mean, you and I both worked in bigger companies, and we are used to working with, being a bit more careful. But the three boys that worked at this point, they weren't in that position before. So you could immediately tell how everything calmed down and how everybody was, you know, tiptoeing around everything they were saying, just because we didn't want to scare her off, because, you know, it was a... And to be honest, I'm still kind of, I don't know, I'm not sure what the right word is, but when Amila came, I mean, I'm just trying to put myself in her position when she saw us, you know, it wasn't an easy choice to join, that's for sure. And yeah, it did transform us for better, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And it was quite nice period, this kind of jump which we made, not just with the first female, with the projects and everything. And I don't know, the hiring process at that moment, we had it, I think we did it quite well. Kerim came, as you mentioned, also earlier we had some let's say possible cooperation year before that one. We didn't do the cooperation at the end. Ahmed came and proposed him. We said like you mentioned, why not, and tried him, and he was a really Swiss knife, as you stated at the beginning. So after Amila, we grew, let's say, to 8 employees. Then shortly afterwards, the Senat came. Basically, there was a funny story how we found Senat. Then it's today's, let's say, not our policy, but somehow it leads our let's say hiring process, which was we do not post job postings for particular roles. Most of the employees basically either recommend somebody, or some of us notices somebody who is good at something or who has a really good potential to be and not just potential and skills to be a good employee for the Sunray itself. Somehow Senat is kind of that story. Senat was coming from even not from electrical faculty. He was
a mechanical engineer.
Mechanical engineer, right? And he was working somewhere in Slovenia and decided to come back in Bosnia. And he was coming daily, regularly to the Ters House, where we were basically with the company. Our residence was there, and we noticed him. And on the cigar, Kerim basically spoke up with him what he's doing and how. Then he introduced him to us, I think, or no, we had an event basically which was there in Ter's house, and he was on that event with us, and we were speaking on that event casually, and who are you, what are you doing here and how, and he explained that he started to move into the IT, and I remember that we gave him some kind of task to do, like, but together with our team, 2 weeks, because we were sharing the same co-working space, that he does the task together with the team. Then we collected the feedback. We took the task as itself, and he had an option to ask for the help, to communicate with everybody, and to get accustomed with the team. And that went basically quite well, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing I remember, kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, he had that like flight controller set up with two monitors and everything. That's how we first noticed him, right? Aside from the beard, obviously. But yeah, one thing that I recall from that point is we gave him a bit more difficult task that we thought that, you know, that he could handle. And the whole point is we wanted him to reach out to our guys more and ask for their help. But in the end, I think he chose to just put more elbow grease into it, and he kind of didn't really ask too many questions, right?
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, after Serhat got onboarded, then Maida is coming as a QA person, and we made one exception with Maida. So she, when she was on interview, we were, I remember quite well, astonished with the fact that Maida was 18, 19 at that moment. I'm not sure. And she was definitely the youngest employee in Sunray. And I think that she bought us basically with the spread of, let's say, skills which she had, and especially the interests which were Korean language and
K-pop.
Yes, K-pop, the group from Korea. So, and we onboarded her, and we made an exception. Sunday, if you remember, she at the start was working, let's say, 4 hours for Sunray, and she was our first QA, which where she was working on a salon and starting to pull up the documentation and to lead a bit, even somehow with a PM perspective,
yeah,
the salon itself. So, and I think it came at a quite good moment for the salon, because the platform, when she came in less than 2 months became much more stable. And if you remember, there was that funny moment with Roland. Do you remember when she was
measuring him on the stream?
The pixels, yeah. So
yeah,
but she had an eye for the detail, definitely. She didn't have any QA experience. Even if you remember, we gave her a mobile phone to test it
exactly
on the interview,
yeah.
And we were amazed how many things she found out. Even she, because she didn't have any experience with the QA, we were amazed how many things she found out during the just seeing the screen and clicking around.
She wanted to test. She didn't really find anything. But yeah, when we asked her, what would you try out? We had a list of maybe 9 things, and she did 8 or something.
Yes, something like that.
She really nailed it. Yeah, yeah, for sure. And you know, I completely forgot that she actually, you're right, she was a halftime.
Yeah,
beginning, and yeah, she was a precedent with that.
Yeah, we needed to make an exception, and we knew that we wanted her full time. And but basically, I'm not sure. A few months later, she managed to get out of the faculty as a permanent, let's say, student and distance. Yes. She's doing distance learning, and
did she even have to change faculty?
Or no, she didn't.
The same.
I think she continued the same. At the moment, she was changing when she was joining.
Okay.
And, or maybe she needed to change. I'm not sure, Sandy. But I know that she also made a quite good effort, that
yes,
she also sure wanted to be part of Sunray, as we, from our side, wanted to be part of, that she's a part of Sunray. And later on, she became full-time employee. Maybe now to reflect on, somehow Sunday we came to a point where we employed Maida. We somehow had a quite nice growth moment at Sunray. I remember one moment, which was the Faris. He was our first sales guy, and he was like doing work like, let's say, like hell, and putting the effort and everything. But unfortunately, we did not see any results. And I remember there was a tough decision it was our first tough decision in Sanre to let it go. And how do you reflect on that one?
Well, as you point out, I mean, you think you have hard decisions until you have somebody's life, fate, you know, whatever, in your hands, and you have to make a decision that's going to be rough for them, not for you. I mean, rough for you as well, but definitely more difficult for them. Yes, I remember I struggled with it for some time before we let him go, and even after we did, it took some time. Even though, you know, he was a great sport about it, we kept in touch. You know, we still see him from time to time today, and it's great. But actually pulling the trigger on it, yeah, it wasn't really one of the bright moments in my life, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I remember that I was keen for doing that one because we needed the change. And that point, it was not good for him or good for us either. Yeah, as you pointed out, we were friends with him, and it was really tough decision. Even you, Sandy, was saying sometimes to me, do we have some other position? Can we switch something to do it? And I remember also, I was stating, yes, we are good with him and everything, friendly atmosphere, but this is not going in a good direction either for us and for him. And looking even from this perspective, now it was the best decision, definitely for both of us, for the Sanre itself and Faris. And it was not easy decision, definitely, to let go somebody with whom you became. He shaped somehow our culture in those in that short amount of time which he was a part of Sanre, 4 or 5 months, and it was a really, really tough decision at that moment.
I mean, from this position, I would agree with you. It was a good call, probably, because, you know, even if we kept him around, without the results in the end, I think he just wouldn't have been,
happy, motivated.
Whatever. I mean, you can't really feel good if you know that the team is carrying you. And I think that, you know, in the end, it worked out good for him as well. But yeah, that part that I wasn't even considering that. I was just, from a human side, it was a difficult thing. But he brought so much culture-wise to Sanre. I mean, he was bringing literally smiles on our face every single day that he was here. He'd always come up with a new way to make us laugh or give a joke, break a tense moment. He was really good with that. And so, yeah, that was another kind of great loss.
And I, what made me to push into this decision, because basically I changed a lot of companies. I already mentioned that one. And I knew where I was not producing the thing which people wanted from me. I was not happy. I was miserable. I was not happy with the, let's say, surrounding or whatever. I knew that always change brings something good for both sides. Yeah. So it was a time for change, and we reacted on time there. And we even decided to switch strategy, which later on led to some other good things which happened in Sanre. That is, we noticed that sales isn't going to do the thing in Bosnia, but that we spend too much time, too much money, too much effort, and that we do not bring anything to the table. So we switched a bit, to marketing. That was a somehow starting point for the marketing itself. And later on, at the end of, I think, that year that we brought up Meliha on board, right, which was our first employee in marketing, where we were not basically satisfied with the current support of marketing agency which they were giving to us. They were just doing digital marketing, and we wanted something more. We wanted video production, commercials. We wanted some kind of deeper, more meaningful planning around the startup itself. So it brought up for us big plus, and for Faris definitely. And this growth affected us, a lot, Sandy, culturally. We had few first females inside the team. We had the first layoff, and it was the growth phase. So a bunch of things happened, and This is why we didn't have the time to celebrate it. And at the end, that team building came, which we were doing casually each year in Blagaj, where we collected all of our people at one place when we reflect upon the things which we were doing at the previous period. And we spent some time with speaking and presenting some plans for the future for the Sunray itself.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of close to when Fariz left us, right? So we invited him to join us there, but he was, well, for whatever reason, he didn't come. But yeah, I remember I was sorry about it. But yeah, that was actually, that's one of the nice traditions that I hope we keep in the future as well, where we brought the team and then we reflected on Saloon, and then we even started some plans for the next startup that we were going to do at that point.
Yeah, definitely. And then if you remember, the Saloon was going in its own pace and direction, and we were having the Sunray itself, and there was a seed. Immediately after the launch, we've started to speak about the next idea, what it could be and what we should be developing. And we somehow decided we didn't have too much big, good, let's say, ideas. And somehow we decided to go into the direction of current one, which we have, which we are all at this moment almost finishing. But at that moment, it was a starting point, Plenum, which is basically the digital, let's say, platform for content creators, for journalists, so that they can provide freelance journalists platform, let's say. And we were one day we were recapping the Saloon in itself and everything, which we wrote down on a few documents, which we later on used for a podcast. We will touch upon that one, Sandy. But Plenum was the first seed, was there. We knew, like, we divided the epics which we won there. Maeda was helpful in documenting and starting to lead that in a PM process. Yes, she already customized it in QA, and she helped us a lot with the defining all of these things which we were mentioning and structuring them inside our tool, which we use even today for organization. So yeah, definitely the starting point there. And as I stated, at those moments after we came back from Blagaj and the recap and everything, we started to think about this podcast, which we are speaking today on, which is, again, I mentioned it earlier before shooting this one, startup for itself at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I would have thought, I mean, my first idea about just having a podcast was, okay, I mean, how hard can it be? Let's sit down, we have two chairs, two microphones, a camera, and then we talk about something and it's done. And then, yeah, I mean, in the spirit of Sunray, like, always growing, always learning, I mean, it grew a lot, I think, since the last time we did it, even from the last season. And even in the last season, actually, if you look at the episodes, I mean, we were growing, but yeah, probably it's gonna continue that way as well.
Yeah, definitely. And then the idea of podcast came basically in the first few months from the starting of the company, and how hard it is when we had the 10 employees and a few who helped us organize everything around it. Amila was leading the podcast team at that moment. She took the initiative. Maeda was helping her also beside, and we decided at that moment that we are going to have this podcast which we are recording today, which is the founders itself. We decided to share our journey, and also that we will have a podcast about our employees, how did they enter the world of employment and employment in Sunray, and later on the growth in Sunray and everything somehow parallelly. And the third one was our startup. And I remember something that we needed a few months just to set up the how do we want to organize it, how do we want to structure the questions, how do we want to shape that one, how do we want to be able to present this journey as best as we can, that we share our experience for somebody who later on can learn something out of this one. And most important part also was the part that clients who are working with us, that they have a real image of two of us, of the employees, of our startups, what are we doing, how we are doing it, how we are achieving it. And it was quite hectic moment. And now if I remember quite well, we do it often. So even when we finish up some milestones, either I or somebody is there to pile up some big amount of chunk of new work there. Yeah. To move us in a next growth phase.
For sure. I mean, I had at least three or four topics I wanted to talk about, but I didn't want to interrupt you. So one thing to kind of, now reflecting back on that period and on the podcast, the first thing that comes to mind, we always kind of wondered, I think it was more you than me, but we always went from for video format as a thing we want to express ourselves in. And the marketing agency that did our marketing wasn't that bad. I mean, they were, you know, average marketing agency, but they didn't do video. And that's what we wanted to go with because we wanted to stand out. And so we also, for promoting Saloon and even for promoting Sunray at some point, we made two kind of short videos about it. And they were quite cool at the time. I mean, with the resources we had.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was kind of one thing that you always steered us toward the video format instead of doing some meaningless like marketing on the social networks. We were going to do a log. And then as you point out, those kind of the requirements that we had kind of branched out, because we, at the same time, we wanted to keep a record of our journey, how we grew, how things changed. But we also wanted to kind of show actual employees what it's like to work in Sunray so they can go and actually take a look how that would look. But then we also realized, okay, so this is also a good case study for our clients who want to see, you know, how things work here. They can go and review it. So we had all these different ideas that we wanted to put in the podcast, and we were talking about it furiously for a few months, like I remember now. And then we, in the end, we kind of decided to split it into multiple branches where the projects would actually have their own, and then the employees would get to talk on their own, kind of have a more relaxed one. And I think they even did it in Bosnia in the first first season, so that it's kind of more approachable for them. But we kept the Founders Podcast like more client oriented, and you know, talking about the things that might interest somebody, but also as a inspiration for somebody who's just starting out, and you know, to see what it actually looks like to start a company from scratch when you don't really have something.
Yeah, definitely, and to differentiate actually from the others, basically, we didn't have any posts like on social media, pictures or anything, that, especially on LinkedIn itself, and we only put there quite important milestones for the Sunray itself, and our strategy, marketing strategy of Sunray is basically the podcast. And we are now even recognized in Sarajevo after a few years, that company which has the podcasts. And it was hard. It was definitely a hard journey, and it still it is. But I think it brought us that differentiation, which we try and tend to give how we work on projects, how we behave to people, how we approach people, how we approach clients, how we approach the company itself, and how we grow company itself. I think it's a quite different than I will not say everything, but most of the companies here.
I mean,
in Sarajevo.
If you think about it, every single person that was involved with the podcast had at least one other job that they were doing at the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So some even more. Like you and I, you both worked for clients. We had to manage Sunray, and then we had to do the podcast as well. I don't know, Maida was doing QA,
mm-hmm.
developers were developing, you know, everybody had something to do. And then with all the tight schedule, they would find some time to do that. And I even remember for the two of us, they were hunting us around, grabbing us by the arm to cover.
For the questions and everything.
Yeah, because it just wasn't enough time to fit everything in, but somehow it kind of, it We managed to do it all.
Yeah, and this blog, I think, helped definitely because we somehow summarized the history and we talked about our experiences, what could be good for the podcast itself and to share from our knowledge. So, yeah, definitely. So, as we mentioned, we were somehow growing in Sanre. We were putting a saloon on a pad. We were putting, at least at that moment, we didn't know it's a startup, but now I can definitely state the podcast is a startup itself. We are putting that on the line, and this marketing thing where we employed first marketing employee, also a female, Meliha, which somehow worked closely with me on marketing and setting up the groundwork for Saloon. Saloon was somehow our playground for the things how we would like to do it. So we recorded a few videos, as you mentioned, Sandy, inside the cafes. We tried to make a campaign for the Saloon itself, video campaign, and try to promote it, which was a good point. And later on, we started to making organization and team and started to plan ahead a marketing agency. And it was, I don't know, it was, as you mentioned, it's not about the other company, it's about the us wanting more, where we always want more and pile up more to be able to have that painful period and then growth phase with the knowledge, with the people and going ahead. I remember also at this point, Sandy, we started to introduce some kind of processes. When Maida came, I remember that I was setting up our management. We had some kind of processes, Sandy. We had some kind of one-on-ones with employees, but we started to set up like some kind of process, formalize it. Maida came with the help, definitely, with documenting everything. And I started at that point to use the how do you call it, Sandy? The board itself, whiteboard for drawing itself, for the drawing, I don't know, the processes. We started dividing teams at that moment. We started like people lead team, which basically was responsible for management, for the processes inside the company, and for taking care of people. Somehow different role than current one in which HR does in most companies. We don't have even now still HR person, but we started more involvement into the processes because we encountered growth from 6 persons to 11 in a short period of time, and we were growing on projects, on everything, and we needed some kind of setting up of everything. And as I stated, the whiteboard, and I still use it today, it's one of my best, how can I say, eureka moments, which I'm currently living also, it's that I can express myself much better when I'm using the whiteboard. And I had a Maida as a right hand to express my weird drawings and things into the ClickUp, the software which we use for the organizations. And you were, Sandy, at that moment, we started somehow to split a bit roles, me more into the people side and you more into the tech side. And we needed like some kind of also processes there and people, where we started doing some DevOps thing for the Saloon. We wanted some infrastructure changes, and we wanted to pursue some, let's say, to do some groundwork on tech side from the company itself.
For sure. So from gotta rewind a bit. So the people side, yes, it was hard enough. We just went through what we were doing at the time. So aside from all of that, the two of us were keeping track of how our people are doing, how satisfied they are, how they're progressing, you know, everything else. And as you point out, we had those one-on-ones where we actually did the checkups. We asked them these questions and then they'd give us some answers. And, you know, it was okay. It was, you know, as long as there's enough time to do it, that was fine. But as soon as four more people came, we quickly realized that it's not maintainable. There's just no way. If five more came, there's no way you're going to be able to sit down with every one of them, have these talks, you know, every 15 days or so. I don't know how often they were at the point, maybe a month or
two. Two months, I think.
Yeah, definitely. But we were talking much more often because, again, think back, it was a smaller team. We would often go to a break together. We would go to a coffee and then, you know, we'd split up in the groups. I'd ask one of them, you'd ask the other one. We were constantly communicating, which is a great thing. And it kept us compact and a really good team. But, you know, it's just not feasible when you had many more people because there's just only one of you and you can't really multiply that. So, yeah, the processes came definitely, I wouldn't say at the right time, but like many other things we did in Sunray, maybe it came just a little bit earlier than we needed it, which is a good thing because, you know, we invested the time up front, and then by the time we actually benefited from it, we already had a robust system that was working. It wasn't perfect, obviously, it's never perfect, but we had something that we can rely on and can use, you know, impartially towards every employee to measure how they're doing, pretty much, which is what the people lead team that wasn't called people lead, I think, at that point yet, but what you guys set up. As you point out, there is a technical side of things as well, which kind of was more in my domain. And I must be honest that there wasn't really that much structure there at the time. We did try a lot of things. We you know, we were trying to find actually what we need to do. Like my vision about the role was from the beginning, like we were supposed to investigate the technologies and, you know, be able to suggest and guide everybody in the company on what they're supposed to do. But there's also this whole side that I wasn't even thinking about, which is tracking how people are progressing from a technical standpoint. And then there's this whole entire area of actually educating people and improving them actively instead of just, you know, reacting to what they're lacking in. And that's the process is kind of is still ongoing. I think, is that the time that we started having the learning sessions, or was it
a bit later?
But yeah, later. I mean, we were struggling to find ideas on how to approach the learning part of the things, and then probably from that stemmed later the learning sessions as well.
Yeah, and definitely there was also one tough decision at that moment. I remembered it now. How this even investment inside of the processes and management and people splitting up the roles and everything, we couldn't start it before because I was doing two jobs, right? I mentioned already at the beginning, I was doing the collects full-time and disperse full-time. And I remember also speaking up with you around that point that it was not even good for my mental health and it was not good even for the company itself because the processes were struggling at that moment, and I needed some free spare time to be able to unleash the things which I need to do on the management side and on the leading itself, the people in a company. And it was a tough decision which you also supported, Sandy, that I leave the disperse, the company where I was working like 2-3 years almost, whole corona period. And we made that decision, but it was later on to show down. It was a really good decision because, as you stated, we invested more time into the management process and processes and organization itself, which at the end later on paid off. And I remember quite well, even during those moments and writing down those sessions, the hard part for the people itself was to get accustomed by these new I will not say rules, but the way of working, the way of direct feedback, the way of direct communication, open communication with them, the direct feedback immediately upon the making mistakes, and then documenting all of this one into some kind of process, and then presenting them regularly those things and showing them their progress, basically. This process was all about both sides write down as much as they can upon themselves, so that they can have a quite good self-awareness, and that we find in the middle, where is the I don't want to say the safe path, but the true path of how they are progressing, and from their perspective and from our perspective, then we can give them real data, where to improve, how to improve. And it was a quite, let's say, weird period for people to get onboarded on this process. But when they got onboarded, they showed, I think, magnificent results. And the process itself, it's always evolving, as you stated, Sadi, and we'll never stop evolving. Yeah. because with a different growth phase, you need a different set of rules and probably different perspective of time-wise, organizational-wise, and giving needed attention to all of the people.
Yeah, I mean, there were kind of two things that came through my mind as you were speaking. I was imagining myself in the shoes of our first employees, like when we were just starting. Yes, okay, we started a company, but we were a couple of guys who were working in a co-working space. And we brought a couple of students to give them, you know, a job, which from their point, they just came out of college. And yeah, it's new for sure. But I don't think in their position, I wouldn't have been very kind of confident about the entire thing, right? And I think that was the moment when we released Saloon, when they actually built their own product from scratch. I mean, they started it and they brought it up all to the end, that they realized that this is actually a company. And at the same time, we kind of had that jump, you know, we grew to 10 people, where it started to be an organization. It's no longer a small team. It was, you know, it's now, you can now hold a meeting where you don't have to wait for everybody to be there anymore. I mean, you know, if you, up to that point, when we were agreeing on a meeting, it would be, you know, when everybody has time and maybe then we can hold a meeting. When we crossed that, it might be just a, you know, soft barrier in our minds, but when we crossed some number of people, then, you know, we as a group are going to have this all hands meeting at that time. Who's there? They're there. Who's not? I mean, yeah, tough luck, but come next time, right? So a lot of things kind of are yeah, it's just, I wasn't even thinking about it because some time did pass, you know, since that period. So as we are talking about it, as usual, things are coming back to me and how the company actually grew in more than one way, and that we didn't even realize it at the time. It just kind of happened somehow overnight. I mean, it didn't happen. We did push many things to happen, but, you know, they all kind of came together and lifted us to the next level at that point.
But definitely, I think the biggest I would say factor here was that we always had a vision, and quite strong and clear vision, which we had already today, even at the third year. And as time passes, as new people on board, that vision becomes wider and wider and wider and wider. And the thing which you mentioned also is that till now, I hope that trend will not trend, that way of working will continue. That we tackle problems in even before those problems sometimes came to topic, and I think that was the crucial part for us to be able to sustain these growth let's say moments. And the crucial part is that we always pile up quite enough work that we feel motivated for whatever we are doing. And we keep us motivated and occupied, and that we love what we do at our daily job. So, yeah.
And also never quite in the comfort zone, because, you know, you can't grow there. So,
yeah, definitely.
Always reaching a bit.
Yeah, and this high ambition which we have from the beginning, and as you mentioned, the college student. We students immediately we hired when they finished the university, and even some of them did not finish the university. We somehow shaped our company culture with quite young, energetic, ambitious, and let's say people who want some more. And our interviews questions are shaped like that, that we discover all of these things which we are mentioning now. And this open communication, which somehow became a quite important inside Sandre. It's painful sometimes. Yes, you need to have these harsh conversations and at the end decisions, but it shaped a lot our culture itself and motivation. And I realized also this process of reviews and everything, when you have these reviews, quite feels motivated for the person itself, seeing, oh, before 6 months I was there, now look, yep, the things good, which I'm getting better at slowly, and it's quite motivating for them. And same as for Sandre as a company, we also, as I stated, had a clear vision, how many employees do we want till the end of the year. And sometimes these things which we were mentioning at that moment was, as you also stated, Sandy, was in the fog for them. It's not that they did not believe, but it was too foreign for them to believe in that one, to grasp that what we were saying to them with our visions.
Yeah, how close it was actually. But again, I had a few, you had a few more, but we changed many companies. We know what the growths look like, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of, if you don't slow it down, the growth tends to be exponential, and then at some point it crashes, right? So that's why we tried not to have that kind of growth. But still, I mean, we knew if we cross all the T's and dot all the I's and do everything we need to, and, you know, just persevere in what we were doing, that's going to come. It's natural to come because, you know, as soon as you have some finances, you can bring in some new developers, then that's going to force you to obviously look for new sources of income, because, you know, you now have to pay more to run the costs. But I mean, that's the financial side you want in. But also it just gives you inspiration when you see how many young people you have there, how they grew working together with you. So yeah, it kind of,
and what are they are capable of? Yeah. That if you believe in them and give them needed support, which is not a lot, definitely, what they can accomplish. And even at this point, podcast, current startup, new startup, new client, we got the Charlie itself, blockchain project at this moment, me leaving this purse and focusing on the management, and immediately, of course, new ideas are coming, new things to do, to pile up. It was quite an even hectic period to maybe come back to podcast again. If you remember recording of episode Sunday, first one was, let's say, okay, good, but then later on it became a problem. You needed to, as you mentioned, a lot of people worked on it. Somebody was working on a setup, somebody was working on I don't know, questions, somebody working was on preparing, I don't know, the video, the voice, preparing, then looking at the calendars of persons when we can switch a bit of time to record the podcasts, and then seeing if the event space was free at that moment, because we were recording in Tess House with their equipment. Now it's in our office and stuff. Do you remember how hectic was that
period? Yeah, and I literally remember the girls were haunting us around, you know, literally pulling our, you know, you have to come down because there is no other way we're going to record this in this month. Okay, but I have an important meeting. Yes, but we have a window, 2 hours, and that's it. If we don't record now, it's done. And so, yeah, many of the episodes actually happened. I don't even remember, you know, sitting down and talking now, but it's just way, way overwhelming. And, you know, I'm going back to a different topic again, but another process that kind of evolved quite well, and I think it's still going in the right direction, is actually our hiring or the interview process. which as we talked to more and more people, we realized that there are a few questions that we always want to ask. So I think we started coming up with documents, you know, about mm-hmm. standard set of questions as well. And then, you know, how to...
Yeah, but basically they were almost always standard. We had them in, let's say, our mind, and we were asking them, but we added a few more. We added a few more, and all during the next period, we started adding more and more.
Yeah.
Because people later on started sharing the questions in itself. But again, even if you have the questions, you cannot fake it. You cannot yeah. learn it for exam. You need to show emotions. You need to show the body language, where I think I'm quite good at, because I had a lot of interviews and everything. And I like it that we kept it casually, Sandy. Even at those moments, we have it now. Sure. And even during that casual moment, we always feel at the end. And our feeling was just a few times, was a bit different. But you always feel somehow at the end, same thing after those questions and everything. And I remember one interview from that moment, as you mentioned, there was that guy who had two practices, like he was doing two practices in two different companies. Mm-hmm. And he came to an interview and he was too perfect. He answered everything smiling. He was the best. He was that. I think you were on vacation. I'm not sure what. But I know that Kerim was part of the interview process. Maybe we should consider hiring him. He was good at this one, at this one. He has two practice. He has some knowledge. Blah, blah, blah. And I had some kind of, let's say, a hunch or whatever you name it. I didn't feel that he was a quite good fit for us, and that something there is problematic, which I couldn't figure out through the questions, but I knew it was something was the problem. So I decided to contact two companies where he worked at, and the email which I got from the one of the companies was basically, do not hire him at all because of this, which is not important. But yeah, the important part that we kind of skipped it, and these questions basically helped us that we get a feeling that something is wrong, that you have a mechanism to either find through connections who brought him here to answer you a few questions or doubts, or to find out from where he was previously working with whom, so to get a feedback how he's doing in the team and everything.
Yeah, just as a reminder, we're always hunting for a good person in a field. So yeah, that's
because we realize that we can learn him in a quite, as time progresses, we need less and less time to onboard properly person because of the processes and everything, the onboardings, the documentation which we have, of course, the knowledge which we collected during these years, and the persons who are now educating, as me and Sandy are less, let's say, involved at this moment. We are still involved, definitely, but less than at this moment, which we are speaking around, which is a second year of Sunray. But yeah, definitely, I agree with you, Sandy, that we invested a lot of time into a transferring, and we saw a potential there with the energy which this and ideas which these young people bring on. And if you give them proper care, that we can quickly get to a nice working position, even for the clients. And our startups are sources of that one. Maybe we can get back to Plenum a bit. We forgot, I'm not sure that we told how the idea came, Sandy, of Plenum.
I'm not sure the last season, but I don't think we talked about it tonight. It was your earlier idea, right? Where you?
Yeah.
I think we did touch upon it on one of our earlier... Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you can bring it up again.
Yeah, I think the idea for the Plenum itself, for this digital journalist, let's say, freelance platform, where where we want to bring back the to shape different, let's say, media reality than it's currently in the world, which we are seeing the problems, because there is always that kind of mainstream media where they can, let's say, move us in direction which they probably want, because of the censorship and everything. So the idea came 2013. I was going on a on a let's say football match where I was attending at those moments for my local club from Bihać, and we lost 3-0, and then the referee was killing us and everything. And after the match, I was raged. I wanted to express my rage somewhere, which is not, let's say, social media, where there just could be seeing several of my friends. And idea came of if I send it to any kind of news portal or any kind of portal, that they will not publish this one. It's probably not good for them that you deal with Football Federation and everything. So the idea came, what if we could build up a centralized place where the journalist could be, or anybody at that moment. The idea from my perspective was anybody could write down the piece of paper, and it would be a centralized, let's say, place for those people, a platform for all people that they can be writing on. And
is the kicker was right that they actually get paid to do that?
Yeah, the later on we decided, as we do the profit share inside the company, that we would be sharing 50% of profit from that platform to content creators, and 50% would be going to us as investors, as those who came up with the idea, build up the idea itself. And if you remember, Sandy, at that moment we were starting up the plenum. As we mentioned, we did documentation. The you set up were doing the work, and maybe I'm not sure Riyadh starting initial kickoff of the plenum for the DevOps, definitely. And first code was written at this period. And
also, it was one of the breaks, I think, and we were talking about the idea with Senat. We were also looking to do some charity work at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was about the blood donations, if I recall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The site for them. In any case, we were talking about Plenum as well, and I think he was the one gave us the idea to actually reach out to the faculty.
No, you are close. It was not from us, but you are close. It was we were in office. There was another company with us, the Peer Shadow. And if you remember, we were speaking about this problem. Okay. And Mahir, the employee of Peer Shadow, we were like stating, validating our idea. And we were stating, if we give everybody access, how we are going to control the content itself? How we can basically forbid the unwanted content, like, I don't know, somebody making jokes, putting pornography or whatever he wants. That
fake news.
Yes, fake news and everything. And Mahir, I remember quite well that moment. He was like cold like hell, programming something. Why don't you go to journalist faculty? You have students. They could be writing down the content which you want. And it was like light bulb. Man, how we couldn't figure out this one alone. And on the coffee Sunday, if you remember, we did the first touch upon with the faculty itself, and at those moments we spoke up with few professors, presented them idea, validated the idea with them, and we got really positive feedback for them, and they give us green light that they will support us during this journey. And the second astonishing moment, we were speaking out on that coffee with Senat, and I remember, I'm not sure what Senat mentioned, but I came up with a realization. Is it possible that faculty does not have, of journalism, does not have cameras, does not have their own portal, does not but it was on that coffee, definitely, Sandy, does not have a practice tool for all of those students. Then another light bulb came, which again validated us and motivated to push this idea even more forward. Yeah, definitely. And
yeah, so literally included is like is a part of their education, part of their grades to actually write a few texts that are going to be published, and then, you know, have a That's the idea that came from Sanaa. I know it was something that I just couldn't
tell. I'm not sure that it was not this realization. He told something which is
he sparked it.
Yes, he sparked it, definitely. And the visit to faculty sparked it. The faculty itself I don't think if we didn't visit the faculty that we would get this insight. But it was the moment all of these, let's say, talks which we had at this moment around the potential problems of IDEA, potential validations and stuff, which somehow moved the journey of our new startup in, I would say, proper direction. And the setup was coding first things there, which again later on helped us when we were onboarding the new people there. So somehow we are now concluding this year, Sandy, the new startup, the podcast and everything. Do you have maybe something to let's say, to put this story somehow to the end, to add on?
I'm just amazed myself, you know, with all of this that we talked about, and I completely forgot about it, that we even tried to squeeze in that, you know, blood transfusion with sites.
Yes.
I mean, I completely forgot about it. And now that we started talking, I was digging through my mind about the spark that we just discussed. I remember that. So it's kind of something that we were always doing, which is reaching out for more, even when we are barely handling what we are doing right now. And I think, you know, that's one of the big contributors to why everybody is growing so fast. And I don't mean like growing in number. I'm just mean like growing as a person and as an expert in their field so fast, because there's always something new and interesting to do, and we're always, you know, hunting to give them more. Even it's not for the profits. It's just we're having to do something that actually, you know, is worth doing. So, yeah, I think that's a good place to do it.
Yeah, definitely. And we kind of kept our promise that we are not going to stop on a first startup, which was having, let's say, tough moments at that period. I was working with Melicha on marketing side. We were trying to find out some kind of different approaches that in the current one. We decided at that point to try out email campaigns, Viber campaigns. We collected a bunch of the restaurants. We bought the data itself, the restaurants, all restaurants in Bosnia, and even tried that one. And even in Saloon, there were last steps which we wanted to try out was to try to put a cooperation with some company which is quite big and which is serving all of these restaurants and cafe bars.
Right, so some drink or beverage or food or whatever was going to distribute us along.
Easily, because the sales didn't work too well. The marketing channels which we tried from, we tried a bunch of things like email campaigns, Viber campaigns, trying to attract the people, trying to contact them directly. Nothing helped. We tried even this one at the end, but this was somehow like the rising point of our new startup and somehow downfall of our current one, let's say. And for me, the biggest conclusion here for this year was definitely this kind of different approach to people. And that we immediately saw the results itself there, that we basically, if you remember, Sandy, I'm not sure if it's this period that it's next year that I came up with a set of skills which we want to define in this process. I came up with 15, 17 skills.
Right, we're going to track. Yeah, I think that came later.
Later, yeah. But this moment was the ground process of this, let's say, people lead role, which I want to just elaborate a bit more with the comparison to HR. The main problem for me in HR is that there are several persons who are responsible for their employees, where the HR itself is proposing some new ideas, doing some paperwork, doing some organizing some events which are tend to bond the employees itself. But the main aspect which is missing there is the realization of what that person is doing daily. And by meaning what that person is doing daily is to having understanding of what concerns, what problems, what struggles mentally that person is going through when she's doing some kind of job. That was the key part for us for shaping this kind of culture, where we already we were tracking down the progress, how we tracked. We were writing down the some bad points and reacting immediately. We were writing down the good points which were happening, and how we could write down these is because we were in those shoes and we were able to notice them, and we were able to address them, and we were able to give them a direction how to solve those problems. And even now, today, we are evolving that to be even more precise, more concise with the shaping whole of this people lead role. So basically, people lead is somebody who is who knows the persons around themselves, who knows what are they doing, who knows how they feel, who knows them just beside of the work, and who knows and understands that mistakes are good, that mistakes are powerful if we address them properly and if we give a tool how to not repeat them again. And then growth happens there. Then people start seeing that somebody really cares about its progress. And I remember at this point, it was hard for them to grasp this one, because it's not like even some of the people we were stating, we are espionaging them because of writing those things and stuff like that. But later on...
No, well, not we, the people leads, but yeah.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah. And that were some kind of struggles here. But as I stated before, we put down ambitions quite high. And all of our decisions, ambitions, which are stated at the beginning, feels, I will not say unreachable, but feels...
hard to reach.
Feels hard to reach. And before, I don't know, month, I came to this realization during the conversation with Amila and me, or my dad, me, I'm not sure anymore, that we always take the hard path. We could take always the path with a less resistance, focus on, I don't know, just outsourcing, the hiring people, and moving that into some kind of particular goal growth phase. But we definitely wanted something differently, and this was the period where they could sense
we meant it.
We meant it. And because we piled up new things, new ambitions, new stuff, again, doubt it was coming there, marketing, podcast, new startup, new processes, new clients. And I don't know, I think this, I would like to finish it with this one. From my side, we always take the hard part, but the hard part is the most enjoyable part and most bumpy part. And because of that bumpiness, because of that problems, because of that those disagreements, because of everything what happens during that period, it's a funny and enjoyable part, which gives a lot of, let's say, motivation in the end to move things forward.
Right. I'm not sure if we already talked about it, but the human resources have multiple problems with the thing, starting from the name, where you name something as a resource, it's a person, and come on. And then, you know, they're marketed as a department that's supposed to take care of people, but it's not really. Its main purpose is to protect the company from the people in case they get sued. I mean, that's how the usual role is set up. So I was never fond of that role. And you know, when we started the people lead process, as you pointed out, people, even though they never experienced it here, they couldn't believe that we are just tracking them so we can show them, here, this is what you've done, you know, half a year ago, this is where you are now, look how you improved, or you haven't improved, mm-hmm. You still have room to grow. And, you know, it was way later that kind of the people started opening up, and it's still a process. It's still hard, you know, to get them. But, you know, they're starting to kind of also keep a diary, so they have their own source of truth. Then we can cross compare and see how they feel about it and how they actually are aware of their progress and their state. So as far as the growth, yes, I mean, nobody ever learned anything by doing something right. I mean, you do it right, you forget about it tomorrow because you just did it and you go do the next thing. But when you fail at something, that's where, if you stop and, you know, take a look at it and try to think about why you failed and, you know, how you can prevent yourself from failing the next time, that's where the learning happens. So yeah, I agree with you, definitely. Like, that's one of the big things we do. We fail a lot and we fail fast, and then we iterate and make it better.
Yeah, definitely. And I remember now one more thing, Sandy. It's regarding our clients. Maybe we can just touch upon that one a bit. And to close down, we mentioned that we got the Media Ocean itself. At that point, we got the colleagues, we got the rid of, let's say, of this purse and focusing on this management side. I remember that we were working for Charlie, right? Mm-hmm. And for example, one of the problems which we had is when you log the hours itself for the project, right? And it was hard to even put people in a position, which also at the end, from my perspective, during previous company, logging hours helped you to realize what are you doing, how much you are doing, basically to reflect upon yourself. And I remember that we were working for Charlie at that moment because I had an insight in all projects which we are even now currently working on, who is working where and what. I have a sense, I need to have a sense to be able to bring up proper decisions. And I remember that I needed to react a few times for the person who was working on. She was not, aware that he or she was missing, whole week or week and a half.
Worked on it the whole day and logged a few hours. Yeah.
I mean, we knew that he worked. We knew because he produced PRs, he produced the features, the needed stuff from the design and everything. And by the workload, it's impossible that we produced that one. There are also those few moments, but definitely that was also a plus because it gave a nice self-reflection. And I remember that we had a first even problem with one of our clients, which was Charlie. I don't quite remember quite well what was in the behind, but we either needed to apologize or to resolve that issue that it was not our fault. And I think something needed to be implemented, and the guy who was delivering us the written form, which we needed to put on website. Basically, it was his mistakes, and we somehow fought it properly, and we didn't took a defensive attitude there. And at the end, it was a good thing that we didn't took blame on us, because if it would took blame on us, probably we would lose that client. We kind of somehow in a nice manner showed that basically it was not our mistake and it was not properly communicated to us, and we continued the cooperation and brought down the project till the end. Yeah, maybe this is a good moment.
I'd say it's a good place to stop.
Yeah, stop.
Leave something for the next episode. Okay.